Hello and welcome to Walk the Pod, your daily walking show, where I take my podcast for a walk because I don't have a dog, and invite you to take a 10-minute break from your desk, walk in nature, pay attention to what's directly in front of you for just 10 minutes. With me, Rachel Wheely, a human in the world trying to figure out how to be. This month we're talking about abundance, and it's been an absolutely fascinating conversation so far. It's made me think about whether I am managing to think about abundance in the right way, whether I'm thinking about my life in the right way, to be completely honest, because it filters into absolutely everything. We've had loads of stuff on conceptual creative abundance, trying to avoid having a scarcity mindset, feeling like we don't have enough, whether that's money or time or love or friends. And today I want to bring you the thoughts of a wise man who wrote about this 2000 years ago. Marcus Aurelius has thoughts on abundance, of course he does, and it wouldn't be a Walk the Pod series if I didn't tell you what Marcus Aurelius would do. What would Marcus do? Used to be one of our features on the pod. So coming up next is not a voice note, but a reading from book 7, chapter 27 of Marcus Aurelius's incredible book, Meditations. Welcome to Walk the Pod. Do not dream of possession of what you do not have. Rather, reflect on the greatest blessings in what you do have. And on their account, remind yourself how much they would have been missed if they were not there. But at the same time, you must be careful not to let your pleasure in them habituate you to dependency, to avoid distress if they are sometimes absent. Marcus Aurelius leaving us 59 seconds of her beautiful voice there. Thank you, Marcus. And it's forever fascinating to me to find out that the things we struggle with in 2023 are the same things that Marcus Aurelius struggled with over 2,000 years ago. Humans may make enormous leaps forward in terms of science and technology, but in terms of how to be alive, how to be a human in the world, or as I put it sometimes in my introductions, just how to be, we still struggle, every one of us. New humans are going to have to tackle how to be happy here, how to create every day, how to be creative, how to be productive, how to be content with their lives. And that struggle seems to continue with every fresh generation, no matter how clever we are, no matter how fast we can travel, no matter how quickly we can gather all the information that we could ever want into our immediate vicinity. Actually, working out how to be happy is going to be a similar sort of question to what am I going to have for lunch forever and ever and ever and ever. What can I see directly in front of me? Well, I'm in the park behind the hospital. I can see four pigeons. That's the first thing I can see. I can see one bench, one bin, one pup, two humans walking said pup, somebody kneeling down by a railing in the horizon in the far distance. I'm not quite sure what that person's doing, to be honest. Oh, they're attending to another pup. That's what they're doing. I can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 trees. That's not all the trees, because there are other trees, but those are the 21 trees that I could count before my brain ran out of space. I can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 pigeons. This is all reminding me of rather a lovely thing that Ben Vanderveld, my friend and one of the greatest MCs and comedians on the planet, taught me when I attended a workshop about how to MC a gig, and said that when he's backstage, often he'll just point at things and name them. There's a gate, there's a fence, there's a tree, there's some grass. And I think the point of that is, I'll have to ask him because I actually can't remember what the point of it is, but I think the point of it is to sort of ground yourself where you are, which is linked to the idea of bloom where you're planted. Observe the abundance that is around you in terms of what's available. Explore the joy of what is directly available to you, as opposed to wishing that you had a different set of circumstances. So when you're in the back of a pub with sweat dripping off the ceiling and a man asleep in the front row, and you have to go on and entertain these people, point to things in the wings and ground yourself in that moment by naming everything that you can see. I think it's an abundance practice, poddies. Is it a gratitude practice? Is it an abundance practice? I think all these things are linked, to be honest. So moving on from counting to colours, I can see a blue fence, a purple fence, a yellow gate, a brown fence. You see, when you start naming the colours of things, you realise that people have made lots of decisions about colours of fences around these parts and have decided that it's not good enough to colour all the fences the same colour. They must be multicoloured, and maybe that's because I'm walking around a play space. I can see a purple roundabout, a yellow tube slide. All these things I used to bring my tiny tots to when they were indeed tiny tots. A sign, welcome to Tooting Gardens play space. This play area is patrolled by the Parks Police. Well, patrolled is a bit of a stretch. I've never seen a Parks Police here in all my days, and I've been here hundreds of times. There's a little bird flying from tree to tree, which looks a lot like a robin. And there are lots of robins in this park, unless I just have lots of universe visiting, universal attempts to make interventions into my life in this park, in which case there are not lots of robins in this park. I just see robins in this park. With apologies to the rationalists amongst you who are like, what is this nonsense about robins and the universe? Robins are an intervention by the universe, poddies. I don't make the rules, that's just how it is. I can see a load of really industrial stuff, tubes, sort of ladders, metal, rivets and stuff up in the back of the hospital where there's some kind of massive furnace / heating thing, a couple of bins, and lots and lots of kind of slightly overturned muddy leafy mulch, as well as some holly bushes which are looking like they're putting new leaves into the world, which is pretty exciting. Thank you for walking with me, dear poddies. It's been a delight to stretch my legs with you this lunchtime. And I'm on my way home. Been in the office this morning, now heading back to my flat. And Sam, Mother Superior of Cats, and I have some exciting news that we think managed to find somewhere to live in the next month, which is great. So got to do a lot of admin now to sort all of that out. Very, very exciting indeed. Don't forget that you can get your hands on a Walk the Pod inspiration pack if you join the Lunchtime Walk Club this month, which is a Patreon community which exists on Discord. But you don't have to be on Discord. You can also just join it and know that you're supporting walking. Trundle and I are supporting each other this series, which is rather lovely. So if you are in need of an app that will record your steps and convert those kilometres into charity donations, get the Trundle app, T-R-U-N-D-L. If you want to join the walking club, you need to go to patreon.com/Rachel Wheely. What I'm trying to do is to build bit of a support network for walkers, so that walkers feel like they have lots of things that are helping them do this very healthy daily habit. So along with the podcast, you can have the Trundle app running. There are various other things. You need a good pair of trainers or walking boots, but that's kind of it, isn't it? Unless you're a Nordic walker, in which case you need poles as well. Haven't ever had a communication from a Nordic walker. If you're a Nordic walker, please get in touch. I'd love to hear from you and find out more about that. So, thank you for listening. Thank you for walking with me. Take care of your beautiful mind, yourselves and each other. And I will be back with our 10th episode of the series, our second Friday episode, tomorrow.